there's a far to live and die. Under the brave black flag I fly, that may a saint to gloom his heart with a violent head and a violent arm. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well to do. But I'll be true to the song I sing, and live and die a pirate king. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king, to seek my prey. I felt myself in a royal way. I sink a few more ships, it's true, than a well-bred monarch ought to do. But many a king on a first-class throne, if he wants to call his crown his own, must manage somehow to get through more dirty work than ever. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king, you are a proud of a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. It is a proud of a pirate king, a proud of a pirate king.
Solo. Oh, is there not one maiden breast? Mark is playing the young, newly come of age apprentice pirate, Frederick, who has just escaped the bonds of piracy and is now looking for a woman to take hold of him and show him the right path.
This is my true song to all the single women here at Holden.
Oh, is there not one maiden breast which does not feel the moral beauty of making worldly interest subordinate to sense of duty? Willingly, all matrimonial ambition to rescue such a one as I from his unfortunate position, from his position.
To which the girls reply,
not yet.
To rescue such a one as I from his unfortunate position.
Alas, there's not one maiden breast which seems to feel the moral beauty.
Not one maiden here whose homely face and bad complexion have caused all hope to disappear of ever winning man's affection. If such there be, I swear by heaven's arch above you, if you will cast your eyes on me, however plain you be, I love you. However plain you be, if you will cast your eyes on me, however plain you be, I love you, I love you, I love, I love you.
Alas,
no,
there's not one maiden here whose home is that one complexion.
February, 28 days as a rule are plenty. 1 year in every 4 his days shall be reckoned as 29. Through some singular coincidence, I shouldn't be surprised if it were owing to the agency of an ill-natured fairy. You are the victim of this clumsy arrangement, having been born in leap year on the 29th of February. And so, by a simple arithmetical process, you'll easily discover that though you've lived 21 years, yet if we go by birthdays, you're only 5 and a little bit over.
Let's see. Yes, yes. With your figures, my figures do agree. That common sense she gave, marks though counting in the usual way is 21 I've been alive. Yet reckoning by my natal day, I am a little boy of 5.
He is a little boy of 5.
Is not rotating from the flood. Blue
pain of stern denials, nor with low born disdain augment our trials. Hearts just as pure and fair may beat in Belgrave Square as in the lowly air of Seven Dials. Blue blood, of what avail about to serve us now? No dating from the flood, blue blood, or blue blood, of what avail
the sentry sings as he walks back and forth in front of the Houses of Parliament.
My darling.
Phyllis, my own.
Don't. How dare you? But perhaps you're the two noblemen I'm engaged to.
I am one of them. I am the other.
Oh, then, my darling. My own. Well, have you settled which is it to be?
Not altogether.
It's a difficult position. It would be hardly delicate to toss up. On the whole, we would rather leave it up to you.
How can it possibly concern me? You are both earls. You are both rich. And you are both plain.
So we are. So we are. At least I am.
So am I.
No.
Oh, I am indeed very plain.
Well, perhaps you are.
There's nothing really to choose between you. If one of you would forgo his title and distribute his estates among his Irish tenantry, why then I should see a reason for accepting the other.
Talala, are you prepared to make this sacrifice?
No.
Not even to oblige a lady?
No, not even to oblige a lady.
Then the only question is which of us shall give way to the other. Perhaps, on the whole, she would be happier with me. I don't know. I may be wrong.
No, I don't know that you are. I really believe she would. But the awkward part of the thing is that if you rob me of the girl of my heart, we must fight. And one of us must die. It's a family tradition that I've sworn to respect. It's a painful position, for I have a very strong regard for you, George.
My dear Thomas.
You are very dear to me, George. We were boys together. At least, I was. If I were to survive you, my existence would be hopelessly embittered.
Then, my dear Thomas, you must not do it. I say it again and again. If it will have this effect upon you, you must not do it. No, no. If one of us is to destroy the other, let it be me.
No.
Ah, yes, by our boyish friendship, I implore you.
Well, be it so. But no, I cannot consent to an act which would crush you with unavailing remorse.
But it would not do so. I should be very sad at first. Oh, who would not be? But it would wear off. I like you very much, but not perhaps as much as you like me.
George, you're a noble fellow, but that telltale tear betrays you. No, George, you are very fond of me, and I cannot consent to give you a week's uneasiness on my account.
But, dear Thomas, it would not last a week. Remember, you lead the House of Lords. On your demise, I should take your place. Oh, Thomas, it would not last a day.
Now, I do hope you're not going to fight about me, because it really isn't worthwhile.
Well, I don't believe it is.
No, the sacred ties of friendship are paramount.
We'll sing it. One of the famous patter songs, and we'll sing it from Iolanthe. It's called The Nightmare Song, and if I get through it, I'll probably be out of breath for the next half an hour. Gilbert once wrote that...
what is the last line to the Nightmare Song?
To the patter song of Ridicule. This... Whatever it was.
Unrequited robs me of my rest. Love, hopeless love, my ardent soul encumbers. Love, nightmare-like, lies heavy on my chest and weaves itself into my midnight slumber. Lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed by anxiety. I can see you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. For your brain is on fire, the bedrooms conspire, of usual slumber to plunder you. First the counterpane goes and uncovers your clothes and the state slips severely from under you. Then the blanketing tickles, you feel like McSpickles, so terribly sharp as the pricking. And your heart and your cross and your tumble and pause till the spot fixed you in the ticking. Then the bedrooms all fit to the ground in a heap and you pick them all up in a tangle. Next your brain resides and politely declines to remain at its usual angle. When you get some repose in the form of the dose of her eyeballs and head ever aching, but your slumbering teeth were total dreams that you'd very much rather be waking. For your dream you are crossing the channel and tossing about in a steamer from Harwich, which is something between a large bathing machine and a very small second-class carriage. And you're giving a treat, penny ice and cold meat, to a party of friends and relations. They're a ravenous haul, and they all came on board at Soames Square and South Kensington stations. And down on their journey you find your attorney who started that morning from Devon. He's a bit on the size, and he don't feel surprised when he tells you he's only 11. For you're driving like mad with this singular lad by the fire, the ship's hour four-wheeler. And you're playing round games, and he calls you bad names when you tell him that ties made the dealer. But this you can't stand, so you throw up your hand and you find you're as cold as an icicle. In your shirt and your socks back, so the clock's pushing Salisbury plane on a bicycle. And he and the crew are on bicycles too, which they somehow or other invested in. And he's telling the tars of the particulars of a company he's interested in. It's a scheme of devices to get at low prices or goods and from fixtures to cables, which tickle the sailors by treating retailers as though they were all vegetables. You get a good scapegoat to plant a fall trade, and first take off his boots with a boot tree, and his feet will take root, and his fingers will shoot, and all blush like a fruit tree. From the greengrocer tree you get grapes and green tea, cauliflower, and apples and cranberries. Well, the pastry could plant cherry brandies from bread, apple puffs, three corners, and banneries. The chairs are many, and ever so many are taken by Rothschild and Bering. And just as if you were a lodger to you, you awake with a shudder despairing. You're a regular wreck with a crick in your neck, and no wonder you snore, for your head's on the floor, and you kneel some pins from your soles to your shins, and your flesh is a creep, for your left leg's asleep, and you've a cramp in your toes, and a fly in your nose, and some fur in your lung, and a feverish tongue, and a thirst and dance, and a general sense that you haven't been sleeping in blue. Darkness is past, and it's daylight at last, and the night has been long, ditto, ditto, my soul. And thank goodness, they're both of them over.
Yes.
A wandering minstrel I, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby. My catalogue is long, through every passion ranging, and to your humours changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my supple song. Are you in sentimental mood? I'll sigh with you. Oh, sorrow, on maiden's coldness do you wound? I'll do so too. Oh, sorrow, sorrow. I'll charm your willing ears with songs of lovers' fears, while sympathetic tears my cheeks bedew. Oh, sorrow, sorrow.
Patriotic sentiment is wanted. I've patriotic ballads cut and dried. For where'er a country's banner may be planted, all other local banners are defied. Our warriors in serried ranks assembled. Never quail or they conceal it if they do. And I shouldn't be surprised if nations trembled before the mighty troops, the troops of Titipu. But if you call for a song of the sea, we'll heave that capstan around with the yo heave ho, for the wind is free. Her anchor's a trip and her helm's a lee. Hurrah for the homeward bound! Yo ho, heave ho! Hurrah for the homeward bound! To lay aloft in a howling breeze may tickle a landsman's taste, but the happiest hour a sailor sees is when he's down at an inland town. With his Nancy on his knees, yo-ho, and his arm around her waist. And patches of ballad songs and snatches and dreamy lullaby and dreamy lullaby.
rest until the shadows fall over one and over all.
Sing a merry madrigal.
Sing a merry madrigal. Sing a merry madrigal. La 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 la.
Feel the fatal steel, and so a slain without much pain. If this is true, it's jolly for you, your courage is screw to bid us adieu.
I am so proud,
my friend,
if I am proud, my family
proud,
to my
heart,
I feel the fatal steel, a slain without much pain. If this spirit's over you, your courage is screw to bid us adieu.
Recollect her disrespected, I neglect to thus effect my hanging by a writ, so I object.
And so, although I wish to go, and quickly climb to brightly shine, and take the line of hero fine with three gallant nine, I must decline.
And go and show both friend and foe how much you dare. I'm quite aware it's your share, yet I declare I take your share, and I don't much care.
I must decline, 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 I must decline.
To sit in solemn silence in the dark, dark, in a pestilence, or in the light, or dark, or in the station, or short, 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 short
silence in the dark, 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 in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the cessation of the short, sharp, sharp, where the chimney 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 chimney. There's the banjo serenader and the others of his race, and the piano organist, I've got him on the list, and the people who eat peppermint and pop it in your face, they never would be missed, they never would be missed. Then the idiot who praises with enthusiastic tone all centuries, but this in every country but his own, and the lady from the provinces who dances like a guy, who doesn't think she waltzes, but would rather like to try, and that singular anomaly, the lady novelist, I don't think she'd be missed. I'm sure she's not be missed. He's got him on the list, he's got him on the list, and another one missed, I'm sure she'll not be missed. And that Nissy Pruis Newsons, who is now is rather ripe, the judicial humorist, I've got him on the list. Or funny fellows, comic men, and clowns in private life, they'd none of them be missed, they'd none of them be missed. An apologetic statesman of a compromising kind, such as, what do you call him, Think of a Bob, and likewise, never mind. And, what's his name, and Lousso, you know who. The task of filling up the list, I'd rather leave to you. But it really doesn't matter whom you put upon the list, for they'd none of them be missed, they'd none of them be missed. You may put him on the list, you may put him on the list, but the none of them be missed, they'll none of them be missed. On a tree by a river, a little Tom Tit sang willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. And I said to him, Dickie Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit, willow, tit, willow? Is it weakness of intellect, Birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, willow, tit, willow, and a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. He sobbed and he sighed and a gurgle he gave, then he plunged himself down in the watery grave, and an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Oh, willow, now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Willow, Tit Willow, Tit Willow. That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, Willow, Tit Willow, Tit Willow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why, though I probably shall not exclaim as I die. Oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow.
All on account of a cruel little hen?
Yes.
Poor little chap.
It's an affecting tale, quite true. I knew the bird intimately.
Did you? He must have been very fond of her.
His devotion to her was something extraordinary.
Poor little chap. And if I refuse you, will you go and do the same?
At once.
No, no, you mustn't. Anything but that. Oh, I'm such a silly little goose.
You are.
And you won't hate me because I'm just a little teeny weeny bit bloodthirsty, will you?
Hate you? Oh, Catashaw, is there beauty not even in bloodthirstiness?
My idea. Exactly.
We sing them to sleep. traditional and say goodbye to Norman this year.
All right, I think all you have to, you can sing with me in this because I can't sing all by myself. Just to follow my last line, the first one is, yes, Britain won her proudest bays in good Queen Bess's glorious days. And the next is, Britain set the world ablaze in good King George's glorious days. As bright will shine Great Britain's rays in good King George's glorious days. That's all you have to sing. It's a very simple tune, but it's sort of a national anthem to the down and outers. We'll spread one about ourselves and our providers. Okay.
When Britain really ruled the waves in good Queen Bess's time, the House of Peers made no pretense to intellectual eminence or scholarship sublime. Yet Britain won her proudest bays in gold Queen Bess's glorious days. Yet Britain won her proudest bays in gold Queen Bess's glorious days. Yes, Britain won her proudest bays in gold Queen Bess's glorious days. When Wellington thrashed Bonaparte, as any child can tell, the House of Peers throughout the war did nothing in particular, and did it very well. Yet Britain set the world ablaze in good King George's glorious days. Yet Britain set the world ablaze in good King George's glorious days.
Yes, Britain set the world ablaze in good King George's glorious days.
And while the House of Peers withholds its legislative band, and noble statesmen do not itch to interfere with matters which they do not understand, as bright will shine Great Britain's rays as in King George's glorious days. As bright will shine Great Britain's rays in George's glorious days.
As bright as shining bells, as in King George's glorious days.
For he himself hath said it, and it's greatly to his credit, that he is an Englishman, that he is an Englishman. For he might have been a Russian, a French Tartar or Prussian, or perhaps Italian.